And can I have all the blue ones coming forward first?
Blue
forward first. Very good. Okay, so we have the tomb.
It's long.
Was. You'll have to come forward so we can read it. Orlaine is a Y, just in case you. Come on, Orlaine, right and stand at the end. Okay, so she's a Y. So let's read all together. The tomb was empty. Okay, now that is the first thing which one of the Marys would have said when they got back to the disciples. The tomb was empty. They were witnesses of something. The tomb was empty. Okay, Blues, can you very kindly go and sit down? All right, now, Reds, would you shuffle around a little bit more so that we can... Ariam, can you move around a bit? It's all right, you needn't stand on the thing. Come forward a bit. Okay, so let's have a little gap there. Let's have a little gap there and hold it up here like that. Whichever way... Sorry, there you go. There we go, like that. Excellent. Okay, so the other thing that the women would say as they came was, Jesus met us. Okay, now you can give a round of applause to the Reds and Blues. So the two things, as we get from Matthew 28, 1 to 15... The two things that the two Marys would have come back excited and saying to the other disciples, the tomb was empty. And then they would say, and Jesus met us. Amazing things. The big question is, would you have believed them? If you were one of the disciples back home, and they set off in the early morning, pretty much before it was light, with their spices to go and anoint Jesus because they wanted to do for him what you should do for Jewish men when they died. And then they come running back saying, the tomb was empty. And then even more startling, Jesus met us. Would you have believed them? Well, no. And that's exactly what the disciples said. That hysterical women. You want it to be true. So if you look at some other time, if you look at Mark chapter 16 and verse 11, it seems as though it was an idle tale. Or Luke 24 verse 11, no, they didn't believe it. And later on we have in John's gospel, we have the man who's gone down in history as Doubting Thomas. Because even when he'd met all the other disciples and the other disciples said, we've all seen Jesus. He said, no, 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 no. Unless I can actually put my hand and put my fingers in the mark on his hands where the nails were. If I can see that where the spear went into his side, I'm not going to believe it. I don't believe you. So it is important to see that people did not immediately believe that Jesus was raised. The women went, they were the first witnesses, they said these two things, the tomb's empty. We met Jesus, Jesus met us. And the people didn't immediately believe it. My question is, do you believe it now? Well, you want to do what the disciples did. You want to go and check out the story. And so we read that Peter and John ran to the tomb and had a look, and they saw, yes, the tomb was empty. We read in our reading that the Pharisees and the religious leaders, the Jewish leaders, bribed the soldiers to say that the disciples had come and stolen the body. Because they were trying to find alternative truth. What's the new phrase that we have? Alternative facts or something that keep on coming out in the media today. They wanted to produce another story. because they recognised that the tomb was empty. I don't know whether you've ever thought that had the tomb not been empty, then we certainly wouldn't be here today. The whole history of the world would be different. Because somebody would have produced the body. And say, don't be stupid, this business of resurrection. Of course he wouldn't. The whole thing wouldn't have survived if the tomb had not been empty. Doesn't of itself prove that Jesus was raised, but it's something that has to be explained, and that the Jewish authorities tried to explain it, that the disciples stole the body and they hid it. And then most of them went to their deaths proclaiming two things: Jesus is raised and we are witnesses of it, and live godly lives and tell the truth. And yet the whole story would have been based on a lie if Jesus hadn't been raised. And that leads to another thing that's important to try and explain. If we've got a friend who's saying, I don't believe Jesus was raised from the dead. We were down on Good Friday down in Brixton, and there was a man who was, we were doing a sort of combined churches together act of witness in the centre of Brixton. And there was a man who was standing, and he was trying to sell at a stall next door. It's a lie! It's a lie that Jesus is the saviour of the world. It's a lie! And of course, that's what some people believe. Most people are just completely indifferent. They can't be bothered even to think about it. And yet, it's the most significant news. So we need to say, do I believe that the tomb was empty? Do I believe that the two women, first of all, and then all sorts of other people, including 500 people at one time, actually met the Lord Jesus? Do I see the way that the disciples were absolutely transformed? They were very frightened because the Jewish authorities hated them and hated Jesus, and the Roman authorities hated them and hated Jesus. And so it was really dangerous to admit to being Christian. That was why Peter denied him three times. It was why the disciples ran away. And then within 50 days, in the power of the Holy Spirit, they're out on the street saying, you killed him, God raised him, we are witnesses. And that's effectively been the news that Christians have proclaimed to the world. You killed him, God raised him, we are witnesses. The disciples were completely transformed, and those transformed disciples turned the whole world upside down. It's 2017 this year, because it's more or less 2017 years since Jesus was born. We only remember Jesus' birth because of what he went on to do, his death on the cross for us and his resurrection. So it's important that you should be clear. In general, of course, people who are dead do not come back to life. Of course they don't. The disciples weren't gullible. They didn't just believe something because it was easy to believe it. They believed because the tomb was empty, because Jesus met them, not just the women, that they were transformed by that news, and the whole world was turned upside down. So our skeptical friends and neighbours and family members and people, we need just to be able to explain to them what we believe, Jesus is raised, why we believe it. And then, of course, also to think, well, what does it make? What difference does it make that Jesus is raised? Well, it means that Jesus is who he claimed to be. He claimed to be God made human being. It is who he claimed to be. And then it means that death has been conquered. That thing that seems to steal everybody away and seems so powerful, especially if it's untimely death and we're frightened of it, and people have these crazy ideas as to what happens afterwards, either nothing or else that you become a star in the sky or whatever it is. We have confidence about what death is like because we listen to one who has come back from the dead, who has conquered death. And they were told that today he gives new life to everybody who says, yes, I know I've rebelled against God and I want to live differently. Please take me on. Jesus gives new life, not just life for now, but life in the age to come, life that goes on forever. That relationship with Jesus is stronger than physical death. But we're also told that Jesus is the one who's going to return and judge. And we look at the mess of the world, and we want the world to be put right. We say about so much of the world, it's not fair. And we can be confident that God knows about that and is going to judge it. Sometimes in this world, sadly, the wicked get away with it. They're not going to get away with it before the Lord Jesus. So coming back just to those two things that the women said that first Easter day, as they ran back, full of fear, they were just amazed, and full of joy as well. They ran back towards the disciples and they said, the tomb was empty. Jesus met us. That is the exciting news of Easter day. Let's bow our heads to pray. Father, we do thank you so much for this great good news that is at the heart of the Christian faith, that Jesus died on the cross for our sins on Good Friday, but he didn't stay dead. He demonstrated to the world that his sacrifice was sufficient. His substitution of himself was for each one of us. And you demonstrated that when you raised him from the dead on that first Easter morning. Thank you that the tomb was empty, even though it goes against everything that we expect. Thank you that Jesus himself met with those women, then that he met with many others. Thank you, Father, that their lives were transformed and that through their message, the whole world was turned upside down. Thank you that we can be part of that, that we can know the Lord Jesus ourselves today by the Holy Spirit. Thank you that we have a part of continuing to turn the world upside down as we seek to live for Christ and have more and more people join his kingdom. We ask you to help us in that task. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.